Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
My next guest did a piece for Awful Announcing this past week that a topic that I find very interesting and a topic that I think is going to become more and more. It's already a relevant topic just with all the news we've seen of cord cutting and cuts at ESPN and everything else. The rights fees that ESPN and Fox and others have shelled out for all sports, but this is specific to college football, it's going to be a very interesting time when all these TV contracts come up just to wonder, if nothing else, how we're going to be consuming all these games, if it's still over cable or if it's over the internet. And the title of the piece was "The Big Ten Adding Rutgers and Maryland Could Be a Major Problem When Cable Dies." That piece was written by my next guest, Ty Duffy, who you can find on Twitter at Ty Duffy. Ty, how are we doing tonight?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you. So, really interesting piece, and I think it's a fascinating topic, the business side of these rights fees and the contracts, and especially at the collegiate level, because of all the realignment involved with it. And you touch on Maryland and Rutgers. And I, you know, Ty, I've said this before, and I'm curious your thoughts. Like, when you consider the not just the lack of foresight in terms of what's happening with cable, because I don't know that a ton of us saw this day coming as quickly as it did, maybe, but just the flawed method with which realignment was done, some of the thinking behind it, that getting those markets, you know, like, for example, Rutgers, is they do that to get the New York market, and I get the financial part of it, but does anybody in New York, I mean, honestly, does Rutgers pull a number in New York? Just sort of speak to the flawed thinking, I guess, behind a lot of what's happened up until this point.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just say I lived in New York for 6 years. I don't think I ever saw one Rutgers fan. But
right.
Yeah, I mean, basically this move, it's purely about money. All about money. You know, they want, you know, nobody actually watches the Big Ten Network. You know, the Big Ten Network makes money because it gets on the first-tier cable package. And, you know, I think Dan Wetzel termed it the Big Ten tax. You know, everybody pays a dollar. Every cable subscriber pays a dollar for a month. That's how the Big Ten makes money off you know, the Big Ten Network. And so, I mean, this, you know, if you look at the past Big Ten editions, Penn State, Nebraska, these are storied programs. These are, you know, great football traditions there. You know, those sort of fit right in with the Big Ten. You know, those made the conference better. Then you look at Maryland and Rutgers. These are not programs of that caliber. You know, this was just a purely short-term, you know, let's get the these large growing markets buying the first tier Big Ten Network, you know, having to pay the full dollar a month for the Big Ten Network, get, you know, however many million subscribers. And then, you know, now a few years later, it doesn't look like cable is going to be with us much longer. So now you just added two not very good football teams, diluted your product, and, you know, that's going to be problematic moving forward.
Yeah, because obviously the cable stuff is based on a geographic footprint, whereas the internet is, it's the internet. It's the wild, wild west. And what I find, you know, a bit of news that I'm sure a lot of folks saw recently here is Jim Delaney, the commissioner of the Big Ten, is reportedly getting a $20 million bonus. I'm assuming that's based in large part because of the profitability of the Big Ten Network. What's your reaction when you see a conference commissioner getting a $20 million bonus, Ty?
Well, I mean, I find it pretty incredible just, you know, considering that these guys apparently don't have money to pay the labor force that's, you know, participating in the games, but somehow somebody who's administrating an extracurricular activity for students is getting, you know, $20 million in bonuses. You know, it sort of questions, you know, is this actually, you know, college athletics that we're dealing with, or is it something else? But, yeah, I mean, and I think, you know, the other, you know, the way to look at it is, you know, Jim Delaney came out pretty well here. All the people at the schools in the Big Ten who, you know, have their own budgets came out pretty well here because they're making a lot of money right now. And, you know, this may be a problem in 10 years, 10, 15 years, but, you know, these aren't, somebody who's not Jim Delaney is going to be dealing with it.
Yeah, you're no question. And Ty Duffy joining me on CBS Sports Radio. We know that live sports has been kind of it's the last bastion of what's perceived to be non-DVRable content on TV, on regular TV, on cable TV. You have a quote in here in your piece that I want to read. Cable's death carries uncertainty. There's no precise gauge of what will happen. What I can predict is there will be a profound shift toward quality of games versus volume of games. Can you explain what you mean by that and the dynamic behind your prediction?
Sure. I think the model we've been dealing with right now is it favors just having a large volume of games. You know, ESPN has wanted to get, they want the cable provider carrying ESPN, carrying ESPN2, carrying ESPNU. So they want to load those networks with, you know, games. And, you know, Fox, same deal. FS1, they're trying to get people to pick up FS2. You know, moving forward, you know, it's a big question that, you know, after these rights deals expires is, you know, is Amazon or Twitter or Facebook going to come in and, you know, want to stream these games? Is that going to be what replaces the cable model? Well, that may be, but, you know, Amazon doesn't need, you know, they don't need the entire Big Ten package to get people to subscribe to, you know, Amazon Prime. That's not how it's going to work. You know, they're going to want Michigan and Ohio State. They're going to want, you know, Penn State, you know, they're going to want, you know, good football games that people are actually going to watch and stream, and that's how they're going to make their money. So, you know, the idea that Amazon's not going to sit there and say, okay, yeah, we're going to we want Indiana, Rutgers, we want Maryland, right, Purdue, you know, all these games nobody watches. You know, they might buy a smaller package of the sort of premium content. So I think, you know, the emphasis is going to shift sort of toward stuff the fans, you know, attracting actual fans to watch it versus getting the passive cable subscriber numbers. So you're going to want good games that people are actually going to watch, and good games that people are actually going to go into the stadium to see, because that's going to be, you know, it's going to be a smaller pool of money from TV. So it's going to sort of push back toward, you know, people actually, you know, they're going to make money when the stadium's full. So I think the days of, you know, having 7 home games and 3 of them are awful non-conference opponents, and then another 2 of them are, you know, really bad opponents from your bloated conference that has Maryland and Rutgers. You know, I think those days are sort of numbered. So I think the emphasis is going to be on, like, playing as many as good games as possible. And I think, you know, under that sort of model, you know, having Maryland and Rutgers, it really dilutes the Big Ten product, and I think it hurts it long term.
Ty Duffy joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Ty, I want to ask you specifically about Maryland, because I think Rutgers is probably just happy to be at the dance right now, getting a big TV contract from somewhere, because that's a Big East heritage program, and at least they escaped, you know, the Big East and what happened with that conference. But Maryland is a program that I, when I think of Maryland, I still think of them as an ACC team. They had, you know, a lot of storied history basketball-wise with the ACC. They had moments here and there with football. Assuming that the Big Ten money and the ACC money start to become, you know, fairly equal or in the same neighborhood, do you think Maryland's going to have any regrets about moving over to the Big Ten, just from a cultural standpoint of how that maybe others perceive them the same way I do right now?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, I think in the short term, like financially right now, yeah, it makes total sense for Maryland to jump to the Big Ten. They're going to make more money once they get their full, once, you know, they get brought into the full Big Ten share. But yeah, I mean, I think a lot of these sort of conference realignment moves that have happened that have been about money, you know, the long-term health of the product is, you know, college football is, you know, big rivalries. You know, you have a situation where, you know, Texas and Texas A&M, they mention each other in their fight songs, and they don't actually play football against each other. You know, so a lot of the, you know, Kansas and Missouri, you know, that's one of the biggest rivalries. They don't play, you know, so you have Maryland getting taken away from the ACC, where they have, you know, the huge basketball tradition, like all their rivalries in that conference, and getting moved to, you know, a conference of, you know, Midwestern schools. That, you know, it's not a great cultural fit. It's not a great, I mean, maybe DJ Durkin gets something going on the football field and it looks a little different in a few years, but doesn't look like it's, you know, I just think that I think long term it's not going to look like a great decision.
It's, and we got about a minute to go. Are you in the school of thought that eventually it's four super conferences that are that where football is sort of the backbone of this whole thing, and football's already the driver in the whole thing? Are you a four super conference guy?
I think it'll be four conferences. I'm not sure it'll be super conferences. I think the way things are going to look, I think the big schools are going to sort of, you know, if the pool of money dwindles, the big schools are going to look at this and say, okay, why are we carrying all of these extra mouths to feed? So I think it may condense to sort of a smaller league that looks more like the NFL.
Yeah. Ty Duffy, at Ty Duffy on Twitter if you want to find him. And the piece is on awfulannouncing.com. Really interesting stuff. Ty, appreciate you making time on a Sunday evening, my man. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.